Welcome back to the California Conversation. I'm Tess Abraham. Now, some of you may have noticed that I have been out of doing the show for the past 3 weeks, which, trust me, has felt like a lifetime. That was not planned. I actually went down with the newest strain of COVID a few weeks ago, and this one is called razor blade throat. And so you can imagine how difficult that was for me to record a podcast or a show when most of it is just talking for an extended period of time. And every time that I would try to record, the sore throat would flare back up and I was just in too much pain. So I am so sorry for being out for so long. There's been so much happening in the news that I have wanted to discuss with all of you, and I'm really excited to be back today. And it's kind of funny because in the past year that I've been doing the show, I've actually only taken 2 weeks off, one for Christmas and once for Easter. And so this is the longest that I've ever been out of writing and recording a show, which, speaking of it being a full year, this week marks 1 year officially of the California Conversation. So I just wanted to note that it's been a year of doing the show. So just thank you to all of you who have tuned in from when it first started as an audio podcast and now who watch when I've switched over to doing video here on YouTube. It just means so much to me that you support me, that you listen to what's going on in our state, and most importantly, that you stay informed on everything happening in California. We have covered some important topics together, from all of the propositions last year, right before the election, to new laws set in place for 2025, and now to everything happening in California, just exploding under the new Trump administration and the battles between him and Governor Newsom. And we have so much more to continue covering this year, as well as into next year with the 2026 midterm election. So it's such an exciting time to be informed. It's an exciting time to talk about politics in our state, and I hope that you'll continue to join me here week after week. And for today, we must get back to the news cycle because, like I said, there is so much happening and I am dying to get to all of it. But before we get started, make sure to like this video, subscribe to this channel if you haven't already, and ring that notification bell so that you stay up to date on all things California politics. And if you want more information on sources that are cited in compiling today's episode, then you should check out my corresponding article on my website, which is linked below. All right, so one major topic that you may have heard about in the news lately is redistricting, and that specifically has been going on in certain controversial states like Texas and, no surprise, in California. Now, I think we need to step back and we first need to ask, what is redistricting? And then we need to dive into why it's coming up lately. So let's start with the very basics. At the federal government level, we have the United States Senate and we have the United States House of Representatives. Now, you may know that in the Senate, each state gets two representatives or two senators who represent their interests there, regardless of the size of the population of the state. However, the House of Representatives is where certain states will have more representatives there versus other states based on population and size. So California, being a very big state, has a lot more representatives than smaller states like, say, Alaska or Idaho or just other states across our nation. Now, these representatives are elected in each state based on districts. And the more representatives that a state gets, the more districts that it is broken up into. And so the districts will vote every time there is an election cycle on who they want to represent them in both the U.S. Senate as well as the U.S. House of Representatives. So districts are really important because districts have the power to impact your vote. If the districts are drawn in such a way that one political party has more prominence in that district, then it's more likely that that district will vote for whatever political party is more populous. So essentially, districts are important because they establish the boundaries that determine who is within the district and how they will be represented. Now, when it comes to the topic of redistricting or just districts in general, you may have heard of something called gerrymandering. And what happens with that is that means that the lines of the district, the boundaries, are drawn in such a way to actually benefit one political party over another. And it's usually seen as a very negative thing and something that shouldn't be happening, and yet can be happening across states. There are really two main ways that gerrymandering can be done. The first is called cracking, and that's where you draw the lines in such a way that one political party is so spread out compared to the other that they can't actually form a majority vote, and so they can't really win votes in any of their districts. The second way is called packing, and it's really the direct opposite. It's where you draw the lines so that certain political parties are so packed in smaller areas that they're really only represented in a small minority of districts. districts. So essentially, they could win really big in the districts that they have the majority in, but then they lose in the majority of the state, which doesn't actually help them in the long run. Now, if you think about California, you start to wonder, are any of these practices happening? I mean, let's look at the last election. In the 2024 election, Republicans made up nearly 40% of the vote. However, Republicans only hold 9 out of 52 seats in the House of Representatives. So this leads conservatives to question, is there some gerrymandering that's happening in California? But regardless of how you answer that question, all of this background is to say that district maps are really important. And if someone wanted to influence to have their political party be more in power, messing with the district maps really is one way that they could try to do it. So to circle back and answer our first question, what is redistricting? Well, that is when the district lines are reevaluated and updated. And like I mentioned, this happens every 10 years when a new census is taken because districts are based off of population. Because again, the number of representatives you get in the U.S. House of Representatives is based off of population. So you want to make sure that you're using the most updated numbers. You wouldn't want to keep using outdated numbers because you might not be accurately represented, both for your state or for your district. So that's what redistricting is. So why is redistricting in the news? A new census has not been taken anytime recently. And so why is this coming up now? Well, in June of this year, President Trump started to work with Texas Republicans to actually try to redraw the district lines in the state of Texas in a way that would actually give the Republican Party 5 more seats in the House of Representatives. And that's a big deal because President Trump has had just a slim majority in the House. And so if he was able to gain 5 more seats or take those away from Democrats, that would help him, especially ahead of the 2026 midterm elections. Now, obviously, some people are going to take issue with this, especially people who are not Republicans, which I would understand. And one person who has taken the most issue with this is, once again, our beloved governor, Gavin Newsom. He is absolutely outraged. He says that this is a play for political power. And so he has responded by saying that if Texas passes its redistricting plan, and if Republicans therefore gain 5 additional seats in the House of Representatives, that he will redraw the district lines in California to take away 5 seats from Republicans and give those over to Democrats, which is kind of crazy because, like I mentioned before, Republicans only have 9 seats currently. And so to take away 5 seats would mean that Democrats hold 48 of the 52 seats in the U.S. House of Representatives for California, which just doesn't really seem commensurate with the level of conservatives who live in California and who would like to be represented. Now, the reason that Newsom is doing this, obviously, is because he's upset about the prospect of his party losing seats in the U.S. House. But more than that, he's been using a lot of inflammatory language. He's been saying things like he will fight fire with fire. He's been saying that there might not even be an election in 2028 if Texas's redistricting plan actually goes through. And so he's using the rhetoric once again to save our democracy and really painting Texas as the bad guy in the situation and himself as the heroic figure. So then we need to understand, why is Texas talking about redistricting in the first place? Why is President Trump trying to work with Republicans to give the party more seats? It would be really easy to paint this the way that Governor Newsom or other Democrats are painting this as a political play for power. But is that actually what's happening? I would argue that it's not. And this is a point that I think is really important for us to understand. District maps are based on the census that is taken every 10 years. The last census that was taken was in 2020, right around the time that COVID hit. And actually, the problem is that the U.S. Census Bureau itself came out with a report in 2022 saying that the 2020 census was widely miscounted. The report found that, quote, significant net undercount rates were found in 6 states: Arkansas, Florida, Illinois, Mississippi, Tennessee, and you guessed it, Texas. It also uncovered significant overcount rates in 8 states: Delaware, Hawaii, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New York, Ohio, Rhode Island, and Utah. So clearly, the census favored giving higher population counts to Democrat states and lower population counts to Republican states, which then in turn adversely impacts Republicans when it comes to the number of seats in the U.S. House of Representatives, but it favors Democrats. So this is the background for why President Trump is trying to get involved with Texas Republicans to redraw the district maps. It's not that he's just pulling this out of thin air or making it up or trying to preserve his power. It's because the U.S. Census Bureau themselves admitted that the census was grossly inaccurate and actually favored one political party over another. Governor Newsom is not responding because the census inaccurately counted for California. He's just responding to what Texas is doing. But really, when you look at the underlying causes or the motivations behind what's happening in Texas, it's all tied back to this census. So that's motive. That's rationale for what's happening in the political fight. But even beyond just the why of redistricting, there's also the how. And there's a pretty big difference between how Texas is going about potential redistricting versus how California is going about it. And that's another point that I think that we need to dive into and understand. For Texas, the Texas legislature is the ones who are allowed to draw the district maps in the first place. So whenever there's a census and whenever district maps are going to be redrawn, they mock up a new map, they bring it before the legislature, they vote on it, and then ultimately it goes to the governor. And in order to do that, they need a quorum. They need all of their senators or all of their assembly members in person to be able to vote on the maps. Now, in Texas, their Senate or their assembly is actually Republican majority, very opposite to California. And so it's very likely that once these new district maps are proposed, that they will be passed by the legislature and then they will go to the governor's desk for official approval. What you may have seen in the news is that certain Texas Democrats have fled the state because they don't want to provide that quorum for the district maps to be able to be passed. So that's why they're leaving, is they essentially don't want to have to vote on it because they know that they are in the minority. And so if they show up and a quorum is achieved and then the vote happens, that those district maps will pass. And so 5 seats will be given to Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, what's important about this is that the process is very different in California. So remember what I said. In Texas, the legislature are the ones who have the power to draw the district maps. That is not the same in California. In California, there was actually a ballot proposition way back in 2008 that voters approved that said that any time that the district maps needed to be redrawn, it had to be done using a bipartisan commission in order to make sure that one political party wasn't influencing the maps over another. For Gavin Newsom to try to redistrict right now, as he says and has pledged that he will do in California, actually goes against our very state constitution, because the constitution was amended by that proposition in 2008 to make sure that a governor could not redraw the maps, to make sure that the California legislature actually could not submit new district maps in the same way that Texas can. And so what he is doing is actually working outside of the bounds of the legal system as well as the constitution here in California in order to make sure that he can compete or keep up with what Texas is doing. That is wrong. How is he doing it then, you might ask? Because it seems pretty obvious that he's not allowed to do it. Well, he's trying to use a loophole by throwing it to the people. And so he announced on Friday of last week that he will be holding a special election this November for Californians to come together and vote on their ballots for a proposition which states that California's legislature would be able to redraw district maps one time only. So he's carving out a one-time exception to the California Constitution. And he's saying that if voters agree to it, then basically it should be okay, which goes against the very heart of why that proposition was passed and why that amendment was made to our Constitution in the first place, because it was supposed to prevent political acts like this from happening. But regardless, that's the direction that he's going in. So this November, expect to see a special election where you will be asked, should the California legislature be able to redraw the district maps this year? And if they do that, 5 seats will be taken away from Republicans and they will be given to Democrats. Now, if this news is causing you distress, maybe as a conservative, then never fear, because today's sponsor, Connected Care, is here to help. Connected Care is an online therapy platform that is centered on doing exactly what their name says, connecting you with the care that you are looking for. Their mission is to make quality mental health care more accessible and supportive for both patients and providers. If you're seeking support, Connected Care can connect you with a wide network of compassionate, licensed professionals who are here to walk with you through whatever you're facing. Whether you're dealing with anxiety, depression, or just struggling with things in life, they are here to help you. And if medication is part of your plan, they have medical providers who can support you in managing prescriptions and making adjustments that you might need with care and attentiveness every step of the way. Now, if you are a provider yourself, Connected Care also has your back. They take on the heavy lifting. They do billing, credentialing, insurance, and so much more so that you can do what you do best and focus on caring for your patients without the burnout of the administrative tasks. It's all about making space for what you actually want to do, which is provide your patients with that mental health care. So whether you're looking for therapy or if you're a therapist looking to serve your patients better, Connected Care is the perfect place to start right from the comfort of your own home. Go to www.connectedcareinc.com to get started today. That's connectedcareinc.com because no one should have to navigate mental health care alone. And thanks to Connected Care, you don't have to. But getting back to California's redistricting proposition, what are we to think about this? What should we vote on this when it comes time in November? Is California advocating for the right thing to do? And if not, what should actually be the solution that we propose moving forward? I think that this can be boiled down to be pretty simple. That is that district maps are based on a census, and the census needs to be accurate. Now, again, the U.S. Census Bureau came out saying that the census was not accurate. And so I think the only real solution is that we need an accurate census to base it off of. Simple as that. The fix is not gerrymandering. The fix is not responding to states in retaliation. And the fix is certainly not breaking our own state's constitution in order to accomplish any of your political goals. Now, you can question whether or not Texas is doing the right thing. That's a fair question. But when it comes to California, I think that we can say that California's situation is pretty different than Texas's. Again, at least Texas is going through the legal means. The Texas legislature is actually allowed to draw new district maps. They are allowed to look at the U.S. Census, look at the U.S. Census Bureau report, and say that this was not done accurately or correctly. So at least they're going through their legal system, and it's more the question of, should they wait for the new census? Should they demand a new census? And are there political motivations underlying what they're doing as well? California is breaking its own laws. We're breaking our own constitution in order to do this and just saying, well, it'll be a one-time exception. Well, every time you break a law, it's a one-time exception until you go and do it again. That's the entire point of having the laws or having the amendment in the Constitution in the first place, is to prevent any exceptions. No exceptions allowed. It's actually supposed to be the way that it is outlined to be in the Constitution, not just whatever way our governor or any politician says that it wants to be. So like I said, California is not responding to the census. They're not responding to anything in the report saying that California was actually underrepresented or treated unfairly by the 2020 census. They're just responding because they don't like what Texas is doing because it might actually favor Republicans. And California is a Democrat-run state. And so we want to keep Democrat control even at the federal level. Not to mention, California's response is completely hypocritical. It's completely hypocritical to look at Texas and say that they're playing politics, that that's wrong, that that doesn't lead to fair representation, that that's not what our democracy is all about, and then to turn around and do the exact same thing, to play politics, to break the rules in order to get the outcome that you want, and to try to make it so that one political party gets a favorable outcome while another political party is hurt. It's just hypocritical. So if we do end up with a special election this November, you absolutely have to vote no. Not just to stop this outright political gerrymandering that's happening, that's important to stop, but not just for that, but also to send a clear message to our governor and to our other state representatives that we will not be used as pawns in their political power plays. Thank you so much for joining me here today. I hope it was helpful for you as you navigate life in our state and that you even learned something new. Please spread the word and share this show with your friends, family, and fellow Californians. And I'll see you back here next week for another episode of the California Conversation.